The following program was recorded live from an audio chat room on Twitter Spaces and later produced for podcast streaming with a few accommodations for signal drops. Therefore, should you notice this sound, kindly refrain from adjusting your set.
I write using style, brains, and some major passion. You're striving to acquire chains, you're a slave to fashion. Got the tongues of Volkswagen like the former Beatles, cause my album's dope. It's being released with hypodermic needles. Synthetical nurses, lyrical bursts are only getting worse. To the opposite of birth, when I put you in a hearse before the second verse. So you don't wanna brawl, they say I'm off the wall like a Humpty Dumpty fall. But you wanna battle, they test the goal, should be big as basketballs. Think you're as sick as me, you're high, better lower your meds. My lines are fly, that's why they be going over your head. You're stuck with me, properly, you chickens best be ducking me. And luckily for you, you cannot fuck with me, you walk a bee.
Yo, how are you, sir? Sick of waiting.
How are things?
Things are great. How are things, you say?
We're having a good time.
I mean, how many are you now?
Very many. I've caught up to Navio.
Yo, you guys are an inspiration. I'm trying to be like you people.
Please do. It's nice on this side.
Yeah. Already enjoying the food, so you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How about Nuve?
Soon coming by November.
Nice. Wow.
Congrats, my
brother. That's fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations.
You guys got me there.
That's the power of COVID. Lockdown.
Not really. Mm-hmm. But consensual, you know, you thought about it and mm-hmm. It's just unfortunate that we are in these lockdown situations. And yeah.
She had been lobbying for long and finally you allowed.
Yeah. Never really. We never really got to speak for more than, I think, 30 minutes. Standard Nuve Live podcast kind of interviews. But most of the time, we'd have conversations out there, not recorded as such.
Okay, well, I guess today is revenge.
Yeah, it's revenge time. Now, for those who probably listen to this for the first time, we had our inaugural 42 days of UG Hip Hop Live sessions last week. And it's like we are having a new 42 days as well. So we can continue counting as we were doing so or just start afresh. Well, these conversations will be happening on Twitter and other spaces, not just only this platform, because we'd like to reach other people as well.
Sure.
However, since the 42 days of UG Hip Hop started via Twitter, spearheaded by at Mad Mudokolo and The Myth, mm-hmm. and then Nuve Live has been pushing like the whole hashtag thingy and trying to find a way we can have these conversations because we feel like we can have a month and beyond to just paying attention to Ugandan like hip hop, from the music to...
You can make it an annual event.
To the street, you know? That's in the works, and all ideas are open.
Yeah. I would like the idea, because there's something about maintaining people's attention on an issue for a whole year or continuously is not easy. But if you remind them once a year and do like 30 days every year, pick a month, or maybe do 42 days again every year, I'd say it's the annual 42 days of hip hop, something like that. That could work. That could be more sustainable. So actually, it's very similar to how Ramadan works. We have that 1 month of the year to refresh and renew and remind everyone about the way we're supposed to be.
True. Yeah. So pretty much for anyone who, I see Ibra, shout out to Ibra, for anyone who had no idea, that's really the 42 days of Reggae Hip Hop Spaces. I had to say that on record again. Well, in a way, this thing has got me out of retirement. Wasn't doing podcasts as much.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the last time I interviewed someone must have been for the New Villa podcast, must have been Play One, I think.
Nice. Well, I'm glad to drag you out of retirement.
And
I haven't been an official. Actually, I did one recently for Mr. DJ when he was retiring from SNMS. But before that, I would say probably 2018 or even 2017 might have been my last time to do an interview.
And to appear publicly.
I appear publicly all the time. People just don't notice. Is our host still there?
Hopefully. In the meantime, I see Ibra. I see Wanda. Shout out to Wanda. Kilometer. Oh, man, you guys, that jam is a banger. Shout out and congrats on that. Maurice, shout out. We have Edwin Becker. How you doing, man? Drew, welcome to the platform. The Ace, I see you. Hey, guys, welcome.
Welcome, guys. Glad to have you all guys tuning in. It seems Nuve was attacked by Umeme.
So. He has this Android phone that hangs up every time.
I'm using Android too. I'm not having any issues.
His is different. It's an Android, but Android. Yeah.
You mean it's like a techno?
Yeah, must be. Gonna be
it's allowed. So of course, tell me what's new. What a guan.
Yeah. I was considering retirement early this year.
What?
Yeah, I was, man.
Anyway, the good thing is I still have some of your things. So you think you're retired. Yeah, I'll just be unleashing new cause and effect every now and then.
Man. I appreciate that. But no worries. Because I'm back and I don't see myself retiring anytime soon because of the news that I'm back. We have so many projects that are lined up.
That's great news.
Yeah. Other than that, we're just here bowling, listening to new hip-hop, enjoying the new guys that are, you know, riding the wave.
Tell me about the new guys.
Man, we have so many new cats. We have so many new cats that are not only promising, but are actually taking over the whole thing. We have a new generation now. We have Player One. Shout out to Player One, I see. We have Wanda. Wanda is doing that thing, you know.
Yep.
Then we have the very upcoming guys, not upcoming really, but the unknown guys, especially to unknown to us, always quote unquote. Guys like Prince, you know, we was talking about the gang last week. I need to check out. But yeah, there's so many guys doing this thing, you know.
Young chaps like at campus level.
Yes.
That's good. That's a good age. A lot of optimism and excitement and energy at that stage.
Absolutely. So much as we are considering retirement, I feel like it is also part of our responsibility to
oversee.
Absolutely. Mm. And if we are trying to retire, let us hand over that baton in the right way.
Like I handed over to Blizzak long time ago.
And that was a job very well done, sir.
Thank you very much. So me now, I'm in that like school teacher mode, you know, every now and then walking around like a TA, observing, seeing every now and then how people are doing. Once in a while, maybe I'll do something myself just to keep myself sharp. But otherwise,
mm-hmm. I was just about to ask, because normally teachers don't go back to school, or they don't engage in active, you know.
There's something called postgraduate studies.
For teachers,
And online courses. and retrainings.
Yeah.
And also depends on the field. Teachers, maybe not, but teaching surgeons, teaching doctors, those ones always have to retrain.
That is true.
They have to stay sharp. So much as those ones have their scalpels, some of us have our sharp bars of steel as well.
Right. Shout out to Cynthia. Shout out to Suspect 92. You know, shout out to Bruno Akampa, aka Motana.
Props to everyone who's tuned in. We can say hello to everyone. Anyone who hasn't been around from the beginning. Our host Nuve seems to have some technical problems either with Umewe or with his phone. We're guessing it's a techno. So Koz and I have decided to hijack the event and do our own little interview until he gets back online.
Right.
Uh-huh. Cool. So you're still telling me about these young boys. Which tracks should I be looking out for?
Look out for Naxa UG.
Mm-hmm.
He should be on the follow list. Actually, he should be on tonight. Then for the artist that I was talking about earlier on, Prince, that's PRNZ. Look out for Castle Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Bakuwe. Very chill vibe, very good music that I think you would enjoy.
You said Castle Dreams.
Castle Dreams, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, actually, he has that whole thing that you've always talked about,
mm-hmm.
you know, like fusing that African sound with modern hip hop.
Yes.
He's got that vibe locked in.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. Good to hear it.
Well, and also,
mm-hmm.
let the listeners know that it is you, Enigma, that actually put me onto that shift from the hardcore boom bap to the African quote unquote sound.
I didn't know you were going to officially credit me for that, but I'm glad.
Yeah, you came and criticized my beats, and you were like, "Man, I would prefer if you sounded like this." Like, okay.
Cause don't tell me, don't tell lies when people are when we're in front of people. You know, I've told you from the very start, you're the best guy at making beats around. But then right. I also said that we should have more African producers making for us beats that have the African instruments in them, having a bit of an African vibe to it. And I actually showed you one or two of the instrumentals that you made where you had incorporated that. And I was like, we need to have more of this. It shouldn't be like a one-off. It shouldn't be just one random throwaway track, an experimental instrumental thrown in the ether somewhere. It should be a more regular theme. It should be more predominant in our industry. That was pretty much it. I never came to criticize. Come on, man. You know how we feel about the guy who made Three Kings.
I am a very good listener. I'm a very good student, and glad to say that I incorporated that piece of advice in every instrumental that I craft now.
Fantastic.
That I make comes from that point of view, and then I apply the other old skill that I had initially learned, and try to come up with a blend.
That's what we need. That's what we need. We need a lot of that. It's because you know, we love the boom baps and they're fantastic, but right. I don't think that it should be 100% of what we do. We have some interesting perspectives here in Africa, and having that bit of an African touch is beautiful. Like when you watch an African movie, for instance, let it be coming to America, let it be something to do with Wakanda, you notice how the sound always changes. When they, you know, like say you're watching an Avengers movie, and then they shift to something that's happening in Wakanda, all of a sudden you hear the instruments change. Things like that, there's a way it adds an extra spice to the viewing experience. And I think it has the same effect when you're listening to music. You have a sound that's familiar because, you know, at the end of the day, it's hip hop. So you want to have some of the structure of hip hop that is traditional. But being in Uganda, being in the center of Africa, you want to add a bit of that African spice in there just to remind people that, by the way, we have this aspect of where we come from, and we're going to include it into the lyrics. I mean, into the sound, especially for the artists who rap in English.
There's a lot of gems that are going to be dropped here tonight. Shout out to Moon G.
Has Moon G joined as well?
Yeah, he's on here.
Nice. You know, yeah. I thought he had also retired after we killed him on that battle track with Play.
I wish I could get to talk and rebuttal on this, because man. Yes, I'm a star because it stands out. Music circulated like a handout. My dish viral, virus, man down. Question mark, I'm trying to figure. Enigma, why you high? Because you're a choco black. I heard that you're all about punchlines, boost, lightweight. Let's start check. No enigma up in my state. Don't infect me. You're a flea, a disease times two. HIV, Siamese, even bring Munji. I'ma murder him too. Deceased police trying to find a dead baboon on these streets. I'm going hard, no soft touch. Your verse don't exist. It's jabba too much. My flow's too good. Let me school you. I stand between a moth shadow and a nape fool. This is playtime. I know my bar's killing. I made your world stop, but left your brain spinning. Time. Anyone here can get caught. Retreat is never an option at the top. So we may be cool, but don't mean I won't battle you. What? I still battle you, huh? I'm gonna battle you. Play. Now who's Play? Kinda sounds like a big condom brand. Play rap mote muya ye wandi ba do dange wa jajak. So mese we valoka mwe nkuba. Ye talent jolina. Kati ate enigma. Ebye bitambala vyo kumeza vyo sivanga kumumwa. No bukalu kalu boku vengeri je we sanika. Rap to musobula you make a great SST teacher. Boy you don't wanna be like Munji. Sawa G-Shock Jesus peace nezi sapuli. Nange sama nyes too much responsibility. Cause everybody looks up to me. Wagulu kuzi billboard. But now I'm not stopping. Go mrada we mpanama. I'm big bowler. These other niggas too short on you, me a chama jani kubuji. Oh, yo, what a deal. In the streets, anyone here can get caught. Retreat is never an option at the top. So we may be cool, but don't mean I won't battle you. What? I'll still battle you, huh? I'm gonna battle you. Until I break my toe. The Boon Forest was named after you, ain't it so? Dikabaka, Olifek, Princess Nganvanunji, Olikasta, Katono, Toli Munji, then Play. You ain't on anybody's playlist. Your name should have been like Fast Forward, face it. Your flows are more like menopause. You look gay, no homo's pause. The opposite is Play. A Mortal Kombat, any niggas trying to battle me. No friendships in every line is a fatality. I'm the bomb like Bin Laden. Nobody can see me. My bars going over niggas' heads. Cause me, I'm Enigma, wanna test, then you best prepare. They call me E, because E equals MC squared. Should've never agreed to get on the verse with me, cause I just murdered you bachelors in the first degree. And I'm the master. Anyone here can get caught. Retreat is never an option.
Nice. You know, I thought he had also retired after we killed him on that battle track with Play.
I wish I could get to talk and rebuttal on this, because man,
we have to use this opportunity. How often can you get Munji hostage when you can talk about him and he can't strike back? You have to use these chances when you get them, man.
It's quite unfair. I'm Team Munji. Munji, you aren't killed on that track. No, you aren't.
Of course, Munji's fire every time. We have to give props where it's due.
Yeah. Shout out to Simonelli. Mr. Producer of the Year.
Uh-huh. You're asking for producers to come around and listen to your gems. What should we be listening out for?
Incidentally, I'm not actively producing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing some co-production work with some guys. Yesterday, I received a couple of tracks from one of the legendary hip-hop rappers. He's based in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I might know who you're talking about. I've just forgotten his name.
Yeah,
he had a couple of videos like 10 years ago.
Absolutely. That's Nsigo. Sigwe gusose, sigwe gusembe, sawe chalimba ya mutaka saga la nkulimbe, jisaka sindalo, piko muzinga, emekono wa gurugwe, singo tumatila, bia fe, bia mucheko, bia chikujukuju, mobireta mwempaka manyo, siga za vikugu, chepe nirataka vi, kumine mune chisundu, ibibubuka vifalebio, minyonge la busungu, kukwone cha muka singa neto do chatanulu. Some guys. Yesterday, I received a couple of tracks from one of the legendary hip-hop rappers. He's based in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I might know who you're talking about. I've just forgotten his name.
Yeah,
he had a couple of videos like 10 years ago.
Absolutely. That Insigo is one of the guys that was that used to do stuff with Deluxe Ebro. If you know about the Deluxe crew. Pioneers. Yeah. So
yep.
Doing some bit of work with those guys.
Nice.
Yeah. I do not have any active project per se at the moment. That's why I talked about active. About considering retirement earlier on.
No. For us, we won't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Even if you tried, we shall find a way to drag you out.
Simon Ali always tells me that you cannot retire. You cannot retire from this. You have works out there, works that haven't been listened to. You can't retire. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. True. So now, if we're not going to be looking forward too much at what's coming up, if we look at the works you've done so far, maybe give us like your top five cause and effect instrumentals.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
As a parent, you don't want to choose amongst your children.
No. I do not. Honestly, I feel like well, there's some tracks that you would have preference over some, but I think past that level where I can soberly pick a track over another one. There's so many that I would consider.
You can use, even if you fail to say these are the top five, you can still at least isolate five for special reasons. Maybe one which you think was the most difficult beat for you to make, the most challenging, or one which is the most satisfying, or whichever metric you decide to use. You can pick out five that have a special status of some kind.
I'll start with Wangu Peke.
Mm-hmm.
Wangu is a track that we did with the Myth. It's of the Ugandan album.
Yes.
It is not a hip hop beat.
So for you, it was the challenge of switching genre and doing something completely different.
Man, that was a challenge. So much a challenge that I grew up into a better producer after, you know.
Who did you consult with? Was there another producer or an instrumentalist of some kind who you sat with while trying to craft it, who could give pointers or offer some kind of guidance in the process?
That was the Myth.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So he had his own personal vision in his mind of this is what I wanted to sound like. So he just sat down with you and went by step by step.
Absolutely. He had a general vibe. A general feeling. I want something that like this, something that is in this kind of pocket. Go. So he gave me a couple of he gave me a couple of days. I came up with stuff, but then there was this one beat. I usually create about four or five pieces before I present to anyone that requires a beat from me.
Except me.
So that's the thing. No one ever knows that. I only present what is worth listening to. I feel like I'm growing into that producer that is past the hardcore hip hop
niche,
thing, and trying to go into that other area where we try to bring in new fans, you know, fans that are not hardcore hip hop fans, but we give them the hardcore feel. But most of them are experiment with you know with fusion. I love fusion when you do. Probably that 808 best stuff and incorporate it with African, you know, sounds and drums and stuff. Usually that's the sound for me.
What I thought the problem was people basically seeing this worked for that artist. If I want to blow up like that artist, I need an instrumental that sounds like that. I'm assuming that you get a lot of people coming into studio telling you, oh, make me a beat like this person.
70% of the artists that I met with at the moment come with a premeditated sound or inspiration kind of thing. They're like, I would like my song to sound like this. So it is up to me to actually
guide them in another direction.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. It is up to me to pick what they really want.
Okay. Because
normally when someone listens to a song and they're inspired by it, it's not that they want something that is exactly like that, but they want to know, I mean, they want to connect with the few elements that are in that song that stand out. So as a producer, I feel like it's my job to interpret what they want and then to the best ability that I can do it and then present it to them. Maybe 90% of the time I'm successful. 10% of the time guys are like, nah.
I want what I want.
Yes.
I don't know. That's something I don't think I've ever done. And
yeah. Taken a bit of a while building their audience. And they treasure it to that level where they do not want to disappoint or even go off and, you know, produce something that the audience doesn't expect from them.
Then how do they differentiate themselves to the audience? The audience has so many different...
It's a perspective. I do not believe in being bound by an artist's perspective or an artist's idea. I just try and interpret it to the best that I can, the best level that I can, still keep that element.
And like, no, sometimes something that I disagree with, like there's a word choice I want to change. Or somewhere I use two syllables and I feel maybe I should have used one. Or something small, most of, if I find something. Other times I'll listen and I'll be like, okay, I don't see anything here I want to change. I'm comfortable. Then I can go to studio, record it, and release. But if I find something I don't like, then that's my window to change it. So that by the time I go to studio, I'm comfortable. Because there's really, it's really a painful feeling when I record in a hurry. And then after I hear that song, I notice something and I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't supposed to be that way. And every time I hear it, it's painful. Like, like it's like seeing a beautiful face with a scar on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it really nags me. And I've always wondered whether producers have something like that as well.
We do. Especially when you are not in position to call the shots. Like when you send your demo and you cannot tell the rapper to hold on as you send the finished product. You know, some rappers be really, really, you know, hungry. As soon as you send them that hit, they go straight to studio. And the next thing you know, hey, man, your song is ready. Would you like to listen? Even if you tell them that, hey, man, that's not the final. Before you put this out, let me send you the other final bit. He will tell you, no, it's already on a certain WhatsApp group. It's already here and there.
So, you know what's funny? I've had a producer tell me that the same thing you're talking about not having control over the direction this thing is going to take. So there's a producer who, when he's giving out instrumentals, he deliberately gives out something that's raw, not mixed well, and even with tags on it, because he wants to make sure they don't record in it so that they listen to it, maybe even write to it, then come back to studio where they'll have the polished version to record from. And one of those times, the person still recorded and released the song with all this nonsense. Artists are unbelievable. Like, I know that producers have a low-key love-hate relationship with artists, and I know these are the reasons why.
Artists are go-getters. Producers are the laid-back kind of people. So a lot of times there's a clash in there, like, no, this is not the time to release this kind of sound, or this, I didn't want you to, you know, you just have to let it go. It is what it is, you know.
Bambi.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard about A Few Good Friends.
Of course. I'm actually with them. I've done like two songs with them. I've done a video with them. Tell me, what are you going to tell me about A Few Good Friends?
Well, A Few Good Friends is a group of guys. Mm-hmm. It's a hip-hop fraternity, really.
Yes.
It gets artists from here and there and there and there, and we try to spread a message that, a positive message about cancer awareness, you know, through music, through hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And we've been working on so much material. We've worked with so many artists. Some of the material is actually already online. Videos are up there. And I thought I would just throw it in there. And
yes, please. I need this information too, because, you know, I haven't been updated either. About a year ago, I think it was, we did a video for the cancer song, and I was told it was going to be like 1 week of editing and then it was going to be released, and I haven't seen anything about it ever since. I don't know, you know, how I appear in that video, whether they caught me well, whether I made me look like an idiot. I don't know.
Most of the songs are done. There's supposed to be an album that comes out. That whole compilation project has over 53 artists on it.
Nice.
I think it's something to do with the release strategy. It was supposed to come out this year. Mm. It is supposed to come out this year, but like you see things, COVID and all this. I think that the whole management team is trying to find a way of releasing it seamlessly.
Mm.
Yeah. It is a great project. I would really, really encourage everyone that is on here to, you know, like try and find out what the guys are about, what the message is, and try to push the whole thing together with us, you know, a few good friends.
In fact, it was through a few good friends that I ended up doing Who Killed Hip Hop.
Right.
They
Who Killed Hip Hop?
With Mulekwa.
Oh, man, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. That project, it was a few good friends who paid for the studio time. Yes, because I had a chat with Martin and we were talking about collabs and stuff like that. I really, really enjoy doing collaborations. Doing a solo track, like when I'm just alone on the track, I already, because some people don't understand that some of us as artists, we're also fans. So when I record something, I want to listen back to it as well. I want to be a fan, like, of the stuff I make too. And I'm not that much of a narcissist that I just want to hear my voice from start to finish every single time. I think most of us have that feeling when maybe you're recording a voice note and then you play it back and you're like, ooh, is that how I sound like every day? Like, it sounds really weird. It's really strange hearing your own voice being played back to you. So I'm not a big fan of just having myself on a track alone. I want to hear someone else as well, someone who I'm a fan of, someone whose work I appreciate, so that when I'm listening to the song, I don't have to focus on myself alone. That's just awkward to me. I want another person there to break up the rhythm a bit, so that I'm like, oh, there's this other artist I can look forward to hearing them too. And then I can enjoy it at a higher level. So I've always loved doing collaborations from the very start.
Yeah.
There are some fans of mine who don't like that as much because maybe they're not fans of the same people I'm fans of. And they're like, no, we don't want to hear those other voices. We want to hear only you from start to finish. And I appreciate the sentiment, but then I personally would be bored of myself. And I want to enjoy my stuff too. So when we were having a conversation like that with Martin, and he was asking me about the kind of collabos that I'm still looking to try and do. And I mentioned that I would like to work with Mulekwa, but getting access to him has proven to be difficult because, as you can imagine, we don't roll in the same circles. So Martin actually is the one who helped put that together. He located Mulekwa for me. You know, we set a timeline. I think he's even the one who picked up the beat. Actually, I think he's even the one who gave us the concept. He gave us the concept as well. So
every song he has been providing.
Exactly. So that's how we ended up doing that collabo, Mulekwa. Met in studio. Language barrier was a bit of an issue, but we got along. We got along well still, regardless. In fact, something people don't know, when the first version of that song, Mulekwa took shots at people.
I've not listened to the first version.
Yeah.
katandika ne baleta sesetula kubisera bye bimu waliwa abajjane ebiddandali ne basa hip hop wansi ne bambusa ebiddandali okuva mu 2018 hip hop tadanga waggulu era tulwana bwezizingirirwa okulaba nga tumusa waggulu hip hop mu Uganda mwalina abamwagala mbalaba munaabo benkusongeddeko waggulu hip hop bamweyagaliza bokka okolota konsat ya hip hop ngajuddeko bakidandala tebuli amukolamu hiti yamuvaamu nadda mu kidandali wuyo twajjirwa ne bapresenta abekolera ebyabwe okugajjako badiji abakuba ennyimba ezinyumira abakazi baabwe obeera mu kirabu n'ogivaamu katowuliddeko hip hop wawa nowulira z'aba nigeria bajamaica n'abamerika njagala obiodijo omwano nga mukwano gwa jaizi olaba ne bwokuba olimba lwa byonsa asobola kuyita baby eyali hip hop ezikalica kati yafuuka ndabika buli agala okusiba balansi nga jayingira kalica so ffe twali tumuzimbidde ku musingi ogw'enkokoto naye ayingiramu abantu bangi nnyo ate nga tebalina mulamwa abamu batyokkola kolabo naffe bakabikabi era bw'abaayo yakolabo omusanga agudde eri mu bano bakikwokitte
Killed hip hop, I killed hip hop, we all killed hip hop. Who killed hip hop? You killed hip hop, I killed hip hop, we all killed hip hop.
Language barrier was a bit of an issue, but we got along. We got along well still, regardless. In fact, something people don't know, when the first version of that song, Mulekwa took shots at people.
I've not listened to the first version.
I don't think that first version exists. Because I came into studio, I listened to it, and I was like, listen, you might offend my political connects. So I was like, wow. There's no way I can be on this song and you're shitting on people I hang out with. No. So
I might need to ask him. He must have something in
there. I don't think it exists. It must have been deleted. Because, you know, credit to Mulekwa, he took it well. He understood my position and he said, okay, it's fine, he'll go and work on it. And he made a softer version. So what you hear in the song is the toned down, watered down version of what he really felt.
That was really a
man. Yeah, the guy wanted to go, he wanted to set the industry on fire. He really wanted to go ham on people and singling people out and naming them by name. And I'm like, no, we're not here to start wars, we're not here to start beef. You can still get your point across without, you know, singling out people and attacking them. These are our friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, that leads me to something that I've always wanted to ask. You are a civil hip hop artist.
I try to be.
You are, you're not so much into beef this, beef that, beef this, and yet a lot of fans thrive off beef between
artists. Yep.
How do you manage to maneuver?
Let me think about that. Because first of all, as I said, as an artist, I'm also a fan. And as a result, the same thing you described, I too loved, you know, beef. When I hear that an artist took shots at another one, J. Cole's dissing Kanye West, I'm running to the screen, putting on YouTube quickly to watch it because I love that shit as well. I grew up watching battle rap. You know, I grew up watching all the beefs, the good ones and the bad ones. I've seen careers being destroyed by a diss track. I've seen people getting blackballed because of diss tracks. Like, I've seen all kinds of things happening, and it's exciting seeing people who have disagreement. And instead of saying, let's square up and we punch each other's faces out, I'm going to go to studio and I'm going to destroy you with my words. There's something powerful about that. Mm-hmm. There's something even beautiful and elegant about it in some ways. Unfortunately, we had a whole Biggie and Tupac situation that happened. And two deaths of two legends occurred because of people dissing each other on tracks. So actually, it may not be like 100% directly a correlation. It's not like this song released and next thing this guy got killed because of the song. But it created a hostile atmosphere around the two artists. And so they were surrounded by violence, which was exacerbated by these diss tracks. There was Who Shot Ya and Hit 'Em Up. So when they died, and actually not just died, when they were murdered, a lot of people examined how much influence did these diss tracks have in creating the atmosphere of violence around these artists that ultimately led to their murders. So people started having a different look at how diss tracks should be viewed. Should we celebrate them the way we've been doing? Should we be, you know, encouraging them and trying to promote them as much as we have been? Or should we take a step backwards and realize, no, nothing is worse. Nothing is worth losing a life. So mm-hmm. Now those of us who grew up in that era, we always have that in the back of our minds. Now, when I look at UG hip hop, this is not a fully fledged industry yet. It is still growing. It is mm-hmm. still, you know, setting its foundations. It is still mm-hmm. not strong enough to withstand the negativity that can come about from a beef gone wrong. I've been in situations mm-hmm. with other people in the industry where we almost had a brawl in a nightclub because of dealing with the wrong kind of people. You see people who have that kind of animosity towards you a lot of the time because of jealousy, nothing else. And you try to be civil, you try to be, but you can't control other people's actions. So you find someone who maybe you say, okay, if it's really going to be about beef, it's fine. We'll go to studio. I'm not afraid of going to studio of anyone because I know I have the equipment to be able to dismantle someone else on track. I am capable. So I'm not worried about going into a battle with anyone. But there are some people who know they don't match up to you in that regard. So when they have a disagreement with you, what are they going to go for? They're going to think, let's go to violence. So you've gone for an event, you've gone to a party, you see these people there, you're trying to keep it cool and chill, but these people are looking at you with this intensity of, let's fight. Then they approach you, words are exchanged, and depending on how you handle it, can decide and dictate how that whole evening goes.
That is true.
There was that story of the guy in Governor who found a man with his ex-girlfriend or something like that, or his baby mama, I can't remember the details. And instead of leaving them alone, he comes in and tries to stir up a fight. And then this guy gets a bottle and smashes it on his neck. It cuts, one of his arteries and he bleeds out and dies. Nice. If he had just kept it moving, he'd be alive today. Right. Assuming Corona wouldn't have interfered. So that's always what I'm thinking about. And I'm thinking, what is beef worth the consequences? So if we can beef only on track, and we guarantee it's only going to be on track, and we can still be okay after that, then maybe there it wouldn't be such a bad thing if some artists decided to, go back and forth. But we know the reality on the ground is that people are petty. People have low self-esteem. They have inferiority complexes. Right. There are all kinds of issues people are dealing with internally. And you think that these two guys can handle going back and forth. And then next thing you know, someone gets run over by a car.
That is true.
So because of that, because of trying to forward think that aspect, I'm thinking, no, our industry doesn't need that kind of drama. Let people come together to promote each other the same way you see Nigerians doing. This is the way Nigeria took over the continent and have now successfully taken over the West as well, because they come together and unify as much as possible. The beasts there are small compared to the way they unify. Anytime someone has an album launch, they come together. Someone has a concert, a big concert, they come together. And they will keep themselves strong because their goal is we want our flag to be everywhere. Because they know that if Ice Prince is making it, also me, I'm going to be making it. That's the way they think. If Mode 9 succeeds and gets an award over there, even me, that opens the door for me to get an award. That's how they think. So they have no problem, no qualms with promoting other Nigerian artists and uplifting them because they know they benefit too, as an entire industry. It lifts all of them up. Ugandans haven't yet gotten to that point of understanding that. You'll find that the mentality is still, if that person succeeds, it means I fail. That's how a lot of people think in UG. And so they don't want other people to succeed because they think it's a zero-sum game. Yet it's actually the opposite. So we need more and more people to stop thinking from the perspective of let us promote beef and be thinking from the perspective of let us promote unity and let us encourage working together and let's encourage building each other. Let us...
Mm-hmm. Nuve is at it again. Enigma, kindly unmute your microphone. We don't hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay, now. I'm back. I don't know what happened. Did Nuve come back to kick us out of the group now?
You know it.
Now, I don't even remember what I was saying before getting thrown off. But generally, yeah, the whole thing is that when it comes to the Ugandan context, I've not been a fan of promoting beef. If I see two people genuinely have a dislike towards one another or have actual issues, I don't want to see that spark having some kerosene thrown on it so that it can grow up, become a real flame, because that flame can burn down our whole house. So when I see people having differences, I prefer that let's find a way to settle it amicably. If the two of you can't live together in peace, then at least separate, go in different corners. You go that side, you go this side, and each of you live your life.
Right.
But let us not have chaos. Let us not be dragging ourselves down. But having said all that, when on the few occasions when people do release diss tracks, I'm all for it. I'm the first guy to download and be listening and bumping it and looking for the dope lines. I'm like, oh my God, he scorched him with that line. Oh my God, that bar was fire. I'll listen to it. I'll enjoy it because I love diss tracks. I love battles.
What's your diss track to come out of UG ever?
I might offend my political connects.
It's all good. This is hip hop.
I think there's really one candidate that stands out that really did well, and that was Calm Before the Storm.
Ooh.
Yeah, Tucker really went in on that. Even if you take away the aspect of it being a diss track, if you just looked at it just as a joint released for Tucker Tuesday, it's fire. Just on that alone.
You are not ready.
Yes, but I don't want to over focus on the diss element of that song, because even though that was also impressive, because you know all the people involved are my homies, from Code to Benny Black to Tucker. These are my young brothers.
Yeah. I didn't agree with how people can do so. NRM, you are passing everything.
Gang on, I'm in warrior mode. Clown to claim a crown that never was yours. Miss Columbia code. Facts on each track, I spit crack. It's lethal when I'm in the zone. Never did befriend a DJ to push my little song. But you wanna clash, I'm down. Leg back, dapper down. Yet I still pick my pen up and knock a rapper down. Big head, fill an empty dome. Don't let Casper down. Split the squares, bro. Not a circle, I can't wrap around. You ain't even next up, Junior. Can't dance with a taxi. Grab your heels, you need to step up, Junior. HD, that's how you spell trouble. Try a triple threat, single-handed your L's double.
You're in trouble.
This the more the merrier mode. You didn't enter the ring when you watched me shut down your area code. Junior, you was in the front row cheering, and I ooze greatness. That's the only time you got so near it. Severe knows the truth, B. You was right there where you should be, blocking off all of my groupies. Damn, do you need a diaper? Funny you were blowing up my phone, bleeding, begging me to put you on the cypher. Quit the drugs that you was on. A rapper, everybody bodied on your songs. Trust me, this is just the calm before the storm. Nothing to prove, no need of my dick road. Any rapper in a 25-6 good zip code.
You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Oh, oh.
Produced by S65 Studios.